Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, I know. We're starting. We're getting ready. Hang on. This is all new. Feels weird. Oh, found it. Here we go.
Crazy, mad, insane world.
Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Pass it on.
This space is for rent. How much are you willing to pay?
Cool, Mr. Oliver Goat Cheese.
Crazy, mad, insane world.
Easy to bitch, easy to whine, easy to moan, easy to cry, easy to feel like there ain't nothing in your life. Harder to work, harder to strive, harder to be glad to be alive. But it's really worth it if you give it a try. Easy to bitch, easy to whine, easy to moan, easy to cry, harder to work, harder to strive, harder to be glad to be alive.
It takes one to know one. Jack rules. Here is your host, Jack Hatfield.
Wow. Early. Is this early? Normally we're 8 o'clock at night. Libation of the time this early in the morning, of course, is 100% Añejo tequila. No, I'm kidding. It's coffee. Goodness gracious. It's early in the morning, but if you're listening to this recorded at your own time, your own pace at midnight, then it's not early at all, is it? So, that doesn't matter. Me saying what time it is has no bearing on when you listen to this show, but I do have a problem of where to put hot coffee so that it doesn't affect the studio. That is a big difference. That is a big thing to do, so I got to find out where to put it here. Hang on, we're going to get started. One more sip. We'll put it right there, right next to the microphone. No, I'll never hit the microphone. Let's talk about stuff. How have you been, first of all? How have you been? Well, our last show was Mother's Day, and I don't know why. That just took too long. We have been looking for a new time. We've got tons of sponsors, tons of new things to talk about. I've got two things I can't announce today, but they're up and coming, and they're going to be incredible. I do get to announce, we now have a Facebook name of where you can come see me. It's at facebook.com/EmergeTriumphant, the name of this show, Emerge Triumphant. And what we're going to do starting very soon is we're going to have some call-ins. You'll be able to call in and tell us some problems, and we're going to have experts either get you some answers right then and there, or have some experts follow up and make sure that what you need to fix your problem is given to you so that you emerge triumphant. And that is our goal. Microphone's in a different spot. New studio. Goodness. All right. Why did we rush this one in and try to squeeze this episode in for you, the incredible magic listeners out there? One is more and more and more people are coming up to me going, I just can't take it anymore. More and more people are coming up and telling me, I've never seen things so bad. And your whole deal is Emerge Triumphant. Well, tell me, Mr. Triumphant, tell me what I'm supposed to do. Excuse me. I should have sang for the last hour. So, Mr. Triumphant, how is the world supposed to get here and emerge triumphant? Let's talk about something real quick. That'll lead into why this show is right now, why this show is happening. Why I felt that it was needed to get in here and make this happen as quickly as possible, even if it gets moving at this early of the stage. Because right now, I don't know, if you're listening live, it is 7 a.m. on the East Coast. That'd be 4 a.m. on the West Coast. Playing the British Open on the other coast. I don't know what's good. I'm just saying, I don't have a cough button. I need a cough button. Over in Spain, in Madrid, you may have heard about this, maybe. Over in Madrid, there have been 80 demonstrations over what Spain is having to do because of what they've done in the past. Let me set this up. Spain has been paying unions more than the worker has worked, and then the unions got they got all kind of benefits after their employment, so they've been paying employees for a long time, even after they were retired. All their health care, all their stuff, everything else. So Spain has finally figured out that they can't continue that. So they have now said they have to do a pay cut. They're slashing the deficit. They're trying to cut 65 billion euros, which is about $80 billion from their budget. And they're trying to cut 7% reduction in annual pay for the government and union workers inside the government. Now, this is Spain I'm talking about. I know, it's weird. Spain is in a second recession in 4 years, and its unemployment rate is more than 24%. They've cut unemployment benefits as well. They've increased the sales tax. Listen, you think of this, if this was actually happening here. Spain, sales tax is now 21%. So when you go buy something for a dollar, it's $1.21. So your pack of gum is $1.21. Okay. So, anyway, Spain has been through this now for a couple of years, trying to deal with the financial crisis. They've been offering investors higher interest rates on bond sales. Spain is also the fourth Eurozone country after Greece, Ireland, and Portugal to get bailout funds in the current crisis. Okay. Excuse me. Again, no cough button. Why can't we have a cough button? We got, what kind of, what is this button? Oh, this is, oh, this is the same. Oh, thank you. Normally, right before I cough, I say something incredible anyway. So that would probably work. I think so. What do you think so? Okay. All right, so anyway, Spain has also added on a VAT, a value-added tax, meaning after the sales tax of 21% and after the tax rate has been increased for people making, let me see where that number is, people making a pretty good sum of money, basically the upper middle class, don't see that number, but anyway, they raised cut in pay, cut in unemployment benefits, increased the sales tax, increased the VAT, the value-added tax on top of that. So you get, when you buy your dollar pack of gum, you get 21% plus another tax that says, hey, that wasn't enough, but we're not going to call it, you know, a 29% tax increase. We're going to call it a 21% tax increase and another different way to say tax. We'll call it a VAT, and you won't, don't pay any attention to that. It's not really a tax. It's just the VAT. Don't worry about it. VAT. Then it sounds just cool. It's the VAT. Hey, Batman's opening this weekend. Could be the biggest thing in the world. And I've got a bad news story about a Batman opening. Tell you about that in 2 seconds. But right now, let's go back to Spain. And thus, the first hour of this entire show is going to be devoted on what's going on and how we are going to get through it, for the reason that I felt we needed to do this show. So let's go back to Spain. As of yesterday, there was tremendous demonstrations organized by unions taking place in Barcelona. They actually had to fire rubber bullets. Things were being burnt, cars were being turned over, big riots, protests, all kinds of stuff. Now, again, the Spain government is doing these things because for 4 years now, the recession, unemployment rate, no one's working, so they can easily demonstrate. You don't have a job, so going out on the street is easy. Sorry, I had to have another shot of tequila. That's our libation for something this early. I'm kidding. Goodness. I know. People are going to say, herba-haba. All right. Wait. I know we got to clean the filters in this air conditioning system here in the studio. That's definitely due. I'm thinking that's happening tomorrow, right? Tomorrow? That's going to be better. It's not really a pollen thing. It's more of a dust or weird thing. Anyway, so they have these demonstrations. They're firing rubber bullets, all because they're in a big depression. They got 24% unemployment rate, and they're having to cut government workers and union workers of the government pay, and then they're having to cut additional salaries and other cuts in other places, and they're adding more taxes. So to fix their budgetary problem, they're having to make cuts and increase revenue. Budget Minister Cristobal Montero defended them, the cuts, because they were needed to lower Spain's borrowing costs, because they're going to need to borrow money because there's no money in the coffers to pay for public services. They're making reforms that allow us to better finance ourselves for the future. Right? Well, the crowd hoists signs like such as there isn't a shortage of money, there are too many thieves. Critics say the measures will worsen economic conditions for ordinary people. So we have to look at this. Let's look at this in a logical way, real quick. Over in Spain, this is what we're talking about. We're talking about Spain. I know it's weird. We'll get to that. Stop it. All right, so over in Spain again, big protests, riots, rubber bullets, fire, everybody screaming because they have to make cuts, increase revenue, fix their recession, work on their 24% unemployment. 24% unemployment, a quarter of the available workers not working. So the protesters are complaining that they were being made to pay for the financial crisis while the banks and the rich people were let off. That's what they're saying. In fact, Manuel Amaro, 38-year-old fireman, holding his black helmet by his side, said, "We have all come out into the street, firefighters, street sweepers, nurses, to say enough. Because if we don't, I don't know where this is going to end." So in other words, the people that are doing government services, working for the government that had to take this pay cut, are angry that they've had to take this pay cut, even though the average government worker over there was making 30% more than the average private sector worker. So, again, in Spain. I know, the rain in Spain. I could have said it. Look, who's doing the show? Me. I might have coffee now. I'm in tequila. Okay. Wait, what is Spain's, liquor, since we're talking about them? I can't think of a Spain liquor. I don't know. Well. Spain liquor. Spain needs to work on creating a liquor that people can, you know, work with Spain. We got Scotland's got Scotch. America's got whiskey. Mexico tequila. German's beer, Spain. I'm going through the, I can't think of one. Spain, there's gotta be a liquor that comes from Spain other than wine, right? Let's do one of those searches. We do it on Ching. Spain liquor. Let's see. Let's see. We got a cream liquor. We got Baloo. I see nothing that is popular. Oh, is Grand Marnier from Spain? No. Is it? Hang on. Now that would be a big claim to fame. That makes, you know, most drinks taste better. Grandma, as it's affectionately known in the younger circles. Grandma. This is a recipe for cake. This is, see? Well, in case y'all are wondering, this is a Grand Marnier cake where the chocolate orange liqueur makes it a unique treat, finished with the chocolate scrolled into a creme topping. Mmm. It's a cheesecake with grandma in it. Ooh, doggy. That had nothing to do with Spain, but it does sound good, does it not? Here on a, I don't know when you're listening, so it's irrelevant. But I would like to say that while we've been gone, we have actually grown. Wait, is Francisco Spain? Frangelico? That's not Spain, is it? Frangelico's from the monks. It is the monks of Spain. Calvert? That's not from Spain. Oh, well. Yes, back to what we were talking about. This show's actually grown more than it ever has before in its history, and we've been going now, we are almost on our third year of this show, and I've got to tip my glass to you for listening, you for sticking in through the times in which we weren't here, because I got to tell you, we're working on Emerging Triumphant, and we're doing it, and we're helping people. Most of you know we don't say a lot of the stuff we're doing behind the scenes. We've helped, you know, children try to get all the stuff that they need. We help people working on a job get better jobs. We help businesses get more customers. We're partnering with lots of businesses to give them the dream. I'm just, again, meeting with people. And they're really, really having a hard time trying to figure out their way. And we see it, and we're out to help them. And we're doing all we can with as many people as we can so that we can emerge triumphant, because we feel that we're at an impasse here where something's got to happen. But we'll get back to that in 2 seconds. Let me digress. Set this cup back there. Maybe it'll be refilled. I don't know. Anyway, Spain, back to Spain. So Spain has these large demonstrations. They have riots in the streets. State and local government workers upset about their cuts. Because there's never been a cut. Most of the time in government, there's been either a freeze or a growth in a budget. Not often is there cuts. Now, let me ask you, in good times and bad, there was never a cut. I don't know about you, but let's say your household goes through a tough time. And you have to cut back on something, like you can't eat lobster every night. So you have to cut back and, you know, go to crustaceans. other forms of crustaceans. You have to do that in your own house. The government of Spain looked at it as, well, we have a lot of issues, but we're still going to continue with the lobster, but sometimes we'll put a freeze on the lobster, so it's just, you know, it's just lobster, but every other time it's lobster and something else. So we'll just keep adding to it until the table and the plate gets fuller and fuller and fuller and starts overflowing off the plate. Then somebody comes in and says, you don't have any money to fill that plate up again. Well, let's just take the mashed potatoes off. The people that have never seen something go away from the plate go, whoa, what are you doing? Can't be taking my mashed potatoes. Got lobster here. It doesn't go right unless I have mashed potatoes. I know that doesn't even go together. Anyway, you get my point. You can't take away the mashed potatoes. I've been eating the mashed potatoes now for years. Now I'm going to get very upset about this. I'm going to riot, blow up stuff. And that's what we're having. The eventual plate that has never, ever, 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 ever went down. Okay? They had to take something off, and that's where we lie. That's where the Spain government, Spaniards, lie right now. That's where they're sitting. They're sitting because they have to take the mashed potatoes off. Now, let me throw this at you. These riots and these demonstrations have simply occurred because they've said they're going to have to take mashed potatoes off the plate. Not actually happened. They've just said it. Does anyone see why Spain's having a little problem right now? I've been talking about Spain. I've been talking about Spain. Workers are losing their mashed potatoes, and for that, they riot. Now, they're saying they've lost 10 and 15% of their pay in the past 4 years. Well, you've been in a recession the past 4 years. You have an unemployment rate of more than 24%. It might have to be mashed potatoes and green beans coming off the plate. What did they do? Spain. Spain. Think about that for a minute, and then we're going to get into the guts of why we had to do this show in a hurry. You've got the big view, right? Big view from over in Spain. We're talking about Spain today. We're not talking about Spain today. You know what we're talking about. I'm out there helping people. Businesses. Coffee delivery. I'm not talking about coffee delivery. I just got it. I mean tequila. I'm sorry. Goodness. That's our libation on the cold, frosty. Not cold. I don't know about y'all, but it's been hot, right? Has it been hot everywhere? No rain, nothing, just hot. Last night the sun was shining. Thunder and lightning was humongous. No rain, just thunder, lightning, and sun. The sun was like, I'm not done yet. Anyway, in all the partnerships that we're gaining to help the small businesses grow, and we are partnering with a lot and helping a lot of businesses, but over and over and over, the reason from what we're having is because the people are just, they're lost. They're going, it just doesn't seem like it's getting any better. It seems like I'm constantly struggling every day. People all the time are saying, you know, I don't take any pay for me as a business owner. I'm just making the business just exist. So we're partnering with people to try to help that. And this goes back to Spain. And it goes back to one of the reasons that we feel that we need to put this show together is the Emerge Triumphant portion is going to happen. Now, as most of these most of my listeners, unless you're brand new, figured out, we're not really talking about Spain. I mean, all of that was true. Every bit of that is actually happening. Spain is actually doing that. And it actually happened yesterday. The riots, the rubber bullets, the fires. Probably didn't hear of it. You probably didn't hear of it because you don't... They're not wanting to say that if cuts are made that people get angry. The mashed potatoes go off the plate, people get upset. No one wants to hear that. But what happens if it's coming? What happens if we figure out that as the plate has grown and grown and grown and grown and the food never goes away, that finally one day something's got to come off the plate? What happens? Business owners that I'm working with, people that I'm working with, stuff's come off their plate now for 3, 4, 5 years. Their plate's dwindled down to a little peg of beans, toast. It's time to emerge triumphant. One of the most unsettling things that has really rocked the business community, employees and business owners alike, and you've already heard this, the news has made the round. I'm not playing the clip again. I'm not going to delve into who said what. I'm just going to say what was said, and that was, you didn't get your business going alone. Now, some of you can sit back and go, you know what? I went and got a loan, which helped me get my business to here. So really, I didn't get it on my own. Okay. However, if another person that wasn't in the same spot as you attempted to go get that loan, would the loan have been made? The loan was made because the bank saw something in you. Two Two people can start a business. Two people on the same road, doing the same thing. One succeeds, the other one fails. They both had access to all the same stuff, and they were supposed to have the same people helping them. But one of them failed. Now, the reason I wanted to talk about this was not that side. I want to talk about it from the brain thought process of the person listening to that and agreeing. You own a small business. If you're successful, you didn't do it by yourself. A worker in a small business hears that and sits back and goes, you know what? That's right. I helped this owner get to where he is or she is. It's me who did this. I deserve to be number one. I deserve to be given more money. I deserve to work less. I've already done all my work. Here's the thing. Break out. You already, if you've been in the business long enough, you know enough to compete. Break out, start your own business, compete with the one you just left. Winner wins. Jack, you can't be saying that. Yeah, I can. You're telling all my workers to leave and be my competitor after all I've taught them? Yeah, that's what I'm telling them because that's the way it can be. However, if you notice a lot of workers sit around and work with you for a long time because they're comfortable, A, and B, because they like it. Some people don't want that extra massive CEO responsibility. And those people hear that you didn't do it on your own, they go, oh, I see that, but it does take a lot of work, but I don't want to do that extra work. I'm not willing to take that step. I'm happy and comfortable in the place in my life where I am. In other words, we talk about this all the time. My regular listeners hear this. Success is exactly what you want it to be. Emerging triumphant is getting to exactly the spot that you think triumphant looks like. Some people triumphant looks like sitting there in the job they're in, making the money that they're making, and everything around them, their family, and everybody's healthy, that's triumphant, and that sounds great. But I want to delve a little deeper into the mindset of someone sitting around saying that if I would have just got the break, if I would have just got the help, I would already be successful as well. The person doing that thinking, however, has not taken a single solitary step towards making it happen. They're just wishing. Inasmuch as the motivational movie The Secret basically promoted somewhat of a mindset, incorrectly, let me say this. The Secret, Law of Attraction, 100% correct to a point. But it was taken out of context sometimes that you can sit there in a beanbag eating orange cheese puffed corn product, wishing that you were a billionaire and eventually $1 billion will drop onto your porch. That's how people took it. Well, some people took it. And we've spent several motivational speakers like me and several that I talked to have spent many, many years talking about that's not what they were saying. Regular listeners of the show listen to Adele at the top of the hour coming up very soon. her Magnificent Minute, she talks about the law of attraction. She's an amazing spiritual energy, just incredible person that breaks out the law of attraction into the energy factor and gets you to do the work necessary to get the energy going so that you do get the items flowing towards you. Her meditation program alone helps you with that. We'll get into that in a little bit too. Anyway, so we've spent a lot of time talking about how the law of attraction in the motivational circles was kind of skewed and marred a little bit by that movie, because the mindset of the person that's probably thinking that I didn't get the breaks to get successful is also the same person with the mindset that I'm going to sit here and think about being successful and it hasn't happened yet. So they're upset that the motivation stuff doesn't work. It's the same person that's upset that they didn't get the breaks and start a business when they've done nothing to start a business. They haven't taken a single step towards starting a business. Think about this, people. If you're sitting there in a job right now, most of you are getting, if you're listening live, you're getting ready to go to a job, I hope, or at least to go to work, or at least to go to do what you love. How about that? You're getting ready to do that. And even in your own self, look inside and go, I had this dream that I wanted to do X for so long. And then I ask of you, okay, so what have we done to get towards that dream? What have we done to make that happen? And you go, well, scratch your head and him and haw and eventually you look at me and you say, well, I haven't done anything yet. That's what I'm talking about. The same people that have the mindset that business owners haven't got there alone. The same people that have the mindset that that the motivation doesn't work because I've sat here and nothing's happening, nothing's changed for me. We've got to turn that switch off, and we've got to do a complete 180 and get those people to move towards action to get to their dreams. We have to get those people to move toward their goal. But sometimes, even before we get them to move toward their goal, we have to get them to back up and think of a goal. Sometimes a lot of people simply say their goal is, I just want to be wealthy. What is wealthy? One of the crazy ones, the ones that we really work on a lot with people in our coaching. Someone look at me and go, I just want to be healthy. Just want to be healthy. Okay, what'd you eat last week? They proceed to tell you a litany of incredibly bad foods. So you have to ask, how bad do you want to be healthy? Then it becomes into your desire hasn't kicked in. You know when your desire kicks in most of the time on the healthy side? When something major is wrong. And unfortunately, the desire of getting out of the doldrums or getting out of your rut, those things are done when you've hit rock bottom, can't go any lower. Now, most of you know my story. Rock bottom has occurred, you know, recently. Now, it was consciously decided upon because of how life flowed. Most of you know the stories. Not going to go into them again. But life flowed that way, and so conscious decisions were made that we had to do this instead of this. And unfortunately, we had to do this instead of that. Well, unfortunately, this had no monetary success to emerge triumphant. But we did emerge triumphant in other ways. And we understood that that side, the monetary side, was going to go by the wayside. But as I've always said, the monetary side can come back. But this side, the health side, sometimes can't. I look over at that and go, yeah, there's no money over there, but I can put money back in there. I can go out and make that happen and make money again. Looking over on this side, I can't redo the health of this. If I lose this side, I can't make it again. I can't experience it again. Well, when we chose to do this instead of that, this was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. On that side, if you got money, you can go experience a steak dinner twice, right? But on this side, you can't experience ever again if you don't do it correctly. And that's very crucial. And unfortunately, it comes down to that sometimes for people. And that's when they really, really see that they have to work towards their goal. So they get specific with their goal. A lot of small business people that we're working with have goals, but they're too broad, they're too wide, and we may focus. I've had people tell me, you know, I'm just happy I'm at least working. And I go, you created a business and you're working 24 hours a day almost. All you did is create a job that beat you to death. Wouldn't you like some success to come from this? And they go, yes, of course. So we have to focus them. Focus their goals like a laser beam on exactly what we want. And then that's what we work towards. And then that's when they go, you know what? I'm starting to see me and my business emerge triumphant. That's when it's awesome. That's when it's completely incredible. When that light bulb clicks, when we put a laser focused goal on a business or a person, and we go reach that goal, and they experience emerging triumphantly from the problem they were in, that's incredible stuff. That's when we see and we sit back and we go, that's it. Right there is what I'm talking about. However, don't think that's been an easy road. Do you have any idea how much resistance you put up to yourself when you're this close to getting there? Yes. Yes, I know. Yep, all right. It's been brought to my attention that they're wondering why Spain and where we are now took up the first hour. And I'm going to wrap it all up in a nice little bow right here. There's been a small facade done on some people in Spain. Their plate has been overflowing with food that was never afforded. But because the plate was always full, the person really never questioned, how is this plate constantly full? Ignorance is somewhat bliss in that point, right? Because your plate's always full. So behind the scenes in the kitchen was basically a lot of people running away from the kitchen, running outside the kitchen to other kitchens and grabbing food and bringing it back in and serving it on the plates to these people. These people didn't know that the food was coming from other locations and not from the market. They weren't going to the grocery store. They were grabbing other people's food, putting it on their plates. And they kept doing so, and they kept doing so. But the people eating and the people with the full plates didn't pay any attention around them. They never saw the back work of the kitchen taking food from other kitchens. So they sat there with their full plates, excited, happy. And trust me, when your plate is full, the potential for complacency and intellectual rotting can occur because everything's rosy. Human nature. Everything's rosy. Don't rock this boat right now. Everything's rosy. Well, they're sitting at this table, their plate's always overflowing, and it always comes with more and more and more. It never comes with less. So for all this time that the plate has been full, unbeknownst to them, well, not unbeknownst, but ignorantly, not ignorantly, without them paying it any attention, the kitchen has been stealing from other kitchens. Well, now the other kitchens have put up some blocks because their food is getting very scarce. They're like, you can't take any of my food or I can't go serve my people, my patrons in my dining room. So when they see the chefs from that kitchen come over to steal the food, they go, oh, no, you're not doing it this time. I can't afford to let you have it. There comes a point when I'm tired of the thievery. Stop taking my stuff. Go to the store like I did and buy your stuff. Well, they go to the store and they reach in their pocket and they go, oh, man, we haven't bought anything in a long time because we ran out of money a long time ago. So we can only afford this, half a plate now. We lost our mashed potatoes and green beans. We want everything but those, the mashed potatoes and green beans. So they bring that back and they put the plate down in front of the person that has been blissfully ignorant and unaware of how the food has come to the plate. And that person gets very upset. How in the world am I supposed to function if you take away my mashed potatoes and green beans? It's now time to understand how your plate was full. It's now time to understand that the work is necessary. It's now time to understand that this is a call to action to make things better. In Spain, they have no options but to do what they're doing, because it's come down to that. Remember, I said it usually gets really bad before someone says, I need to make a change. The people in the businesses that we partner with and coach and assist aren't really bad, but they sense it, so they're ready to make that change now. What can you do in your life to prepare to make the change without having to go through the pain? Because there's nothing better than if you can make the change and emerge triumphant without having to feel tons and tons of pain. There's always some pain. I'm not sitting here delightfully bliss. Everything's rosy. Because every time there's a big change, every time you have to laser focus, every time you have to do some work, there's going to be a little bit of pain. But the little bit of pain right now to emerge triumphant is better than the lot of pain when there's panic because you have to emerge triumphant. And that's the reason for Emerge Triumphant. You can reach me. Give me some input on this on Facebook. Facebook.com/Emerge Triumphant. Twitter. Twitter.com/Jack Hatfield. I want to hear from you. We're here helping people emerge triumphant. That's the name, new name of the new show, new logo, new everything. We are out to help everyone that can grasp the concept that if you do it now, the pain is a lot less. And emerging triumphant feels a lot better. Think about it. Think about it. Now you've heard my grating voice for 50, 60 minutes now. It's time to hear the beautiful, wonderful sounds of Adele, the lady I spoke about. If you have not ever heard her talk or ever looked her up, you need to. Adele is the UK's leading expert in energetic communications, because if you change your thinking, you can transform your life. She's got a meditation program that you need to purchase. You can find that at pathofthepeacefulwarrior.com. Adele is about to come over here. Hopefully she'll be with us live in the studio one day. We've interviewed her, and she does her Adele's Magic Minute right here at this section of the show in the middle. So without further ado, Adele, Omani. Remember, go check her out, her meditation at Path of the Peaceful Warrior. Let's stop me talking. Go right ahead, Adele.
Welcome to Adele's Magic Minutes. In these minutes, I'd like to share with you answers to questions being asked in energy, and also to give you some tips and advice around how to apply those answers in your day-to-day life to start creating your abundance and become a conscious creator. Why do you make things so complicated? I have to admit, years ago, when I was going through an abusive marriage with no friends and family to turn to, I could not get it. When I would read about how easy it was to have all your desires just by being happy, I could not even begin to hope that one day I could be happy. It took me a while to begin the tentative steps of opening up my heart again, allowing myself to give and receive love. And as I did, the conditions of my life actually began to change. It took on an evolvement of me to find me, and now I really get it. It really is this simple. Live for your desires. Appreciate in every moment. Only do what makes you happy. Yet mankind has made everything so complicated by competing, living through material greed and the lust for power, which has only succeeded in societies based on fear and self-doubt. All the conditioning that is cascading out through media channels, through governments to make the populace feel they have to meet a certain set of tenuous standards to be deemed socially acceptable, when they know the real power is within each and every one of us as individuals. This was my evolution on my path of a peaceful warrior, when I realized so much that was being put out there was false information, and learning to step away from that control. I'm not saying this step is easy, to clear your mind of all the conditioning thoughts and replace with fully conscious thoughts focused on you and your desires alone takes persistence, focus, and a definiteness of purpose. All traits a warrior needs. Once you begin to clear out your mind, you change your beliefs. Change your beliefs, you change the conditions of your life without question. Away from all the hype, hysteria, and conditioning, you begin to see that the power of energy is in a constant conversation with you, and at its clearest when your heart is fully open. Unconditional love is the highest form of energy, and when you love yourself, there is no jealousy, there's no resentment or lack. You understand abundance, that everyone is here to create their own, and that abundance is not limited or selective, it is free flowing. So when you can focus on your desires, live in the moment, find everything and anything to increase your happiness levels. In fact, only be, do and have what you are passionate about. Then you allow yourself to let go of resistance. You come into alignment with the energy you are and attract all experiences and opportunities to support your passion and desires. Simple. Yet so many people close their hearts down when they've been through either a personal relationship that hasn't worked, or they've been through certain areas of their life that don't seem to be working. They immediately feel that it's something wrong with them. They immediately feel that they are not worthy, or that they are too stupid, or that they are never going to be successful, never going to make anything in life. And this is so wrong. It is all about having your heart open. It's all about just learning from these experiences. It's so true when you hear that phrase, it's not the final destination, it's the journey. And I remember, I used to think, what on earth are people talking about? But it is so true. It's all about the journey. You will never have a final destination, because there are always going to be more desires as your desires come to you and you fulfill them and they start happening for you. There is always going to be a new desire. It will never, ever stop. You will never, ever say, that's it, I've got everything, I'm completely happy, that's, I'm sorted. Because that's not the nature of energy. And as energy beings, we are here to experience. So take that big step, open your heart, let it be open. Because when you let it be open, you will be amazed at the opportunities and the experiences that start coming and flowing to you. So please, get out there, give it a go.
Do what she says, people. PathToThePeacefulWarrior.com. Let's do another hour!
Crazy, mad, insane world. Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Pass it on. This space is for rent. How much are you willing to pay?
Cool, Mr. Oliver Goat Cheese.
Crazy, mad, insane world.
Easy to bitch, easy to whine, easy to moan, easy to cry, easy to feel like there ain't nothing in your life. Harder to work, harder to strive, harder to be glad to be alive. But it's really worth it if you give it a try. Easy to bitch, easy to whine, easy to moan.
Takes one to know one. Jack rules. Here is your host, Jack Hatfield.
From Spain to emerging triumphant. thus the new name of the show, because you need to figure out ways, and we are here to help you emerge triumphant. No more playing around. No more sitting blissfully ignorant. It's time to work it. But let's talk about some other things that's happening in the news. Last night, during Batman. Now, for those of you who know, there's many things that have been the same in my life. And one of them is the love of Batman. Batman. I have Batman comics from little times. From when I was little. Batman just really, him and I clicked. And so every single Batman item that has occurred in wow, I don't want to say how many years, but anyway, every single Batman thing that's occurred, I've been there waiting on that to happen, and this Batman movie is very excited. However, it was just a little too exciting out in Denver. Breaking news, a gunman in a gas mask and the Bane criminal sort of wears a gas mask in the Batman movie. So, bust in the midnight screening of Batman Premier, bust in the exit and fires indiscriminately at an audience with a rifle and two handguns, and then set off a smoke bomb 30 minutes in. Biggest complaint was we weren't able to finish seeing the movie. 50 people were injured. Some witnesses thought the shooting was part of a louder movie next door. That's how engrossed he was in the film, I guess. For you to think that bullets shooting through your theater was part of a louder film next door. That's somewhat engrossing film. So, be careful out there going to Batman this weekend, but it is poised to be one of the biggest openings in the history of movies. Everyone is kind of excited about it. Bane, as you know, or as you don't know, some people don't know this, actually. Bane is he's not as big as he is in the comic book. In the comic book, there's a serum that he takes. And I know, stick to the issues. Yes, yes. I got to talk about this because Bane in the comic book it's a serum. He gets whenever he's ready to be Bane. He takes a serum and he pumps up into just this big monstrosity, muscular monstrosity that is very powerful. Well, Bane in the comic book is the person that actually quote, I'm holding up my fingers, killed Batman. And what he actually did was broke his back, and then Batman had to rehabilitate, but for the time he was in rehabilitation, the world thought he was dead. So Bane actually does kill Batman in the comic book. We don't know if that's going to happen here, but this movie is called The Dark Knight Rises. So this is, remember the previous movie, Batman's kind of ostracized as a criminal because the world thinks he's not good. So this one is The Dark Knight Rises. My guess is that lawlessness has occurred on the street because Bane has a band of lawless gangs. And Batman's going to come and the world's going to see that he's really trying to help versus be a bad guy. So go check it out. I'm waiting for the DVD. I like to watch it in at home. Can't wait. Maybe I'll get to a movie theater. I don't know. Haven't been to a movie theater in so long. I don't know. What holds me back from the movie theater other than I can't hear the movie sometimes? I think that's it. If we could have, some common courtesy in a movie theater, I would go more, but I don't see anything common about courtesy in the world today, so that's another thing That's a whole nother show right there. Whole nother show. Nothing common about courtesy. Oh, goodness. All right, so another thing that's happening in a little bit is the Olympics, the Sex Olympics. 150,000 condoms were distributed to the athletes. And then you had the soccer lady say, yes, it's all about it, because that's, you know, you get a once-in-a-lifetime chance to do all these wonderful people. How about that for the Olympics? Isn't that great? Isn't that just exactly the reason we have the Olympics? Why don't they make it part of the, why don't they make it a sport? I guarantee more people would watch. You know, what's actually happening behind the scenes at the Olympics, if it was made into the forefront, more people would watch, I think. Just saying. It's a possibility. I don't know. Anyway, it's just hard to fathom that what used to be a national pride thing for all the countries involved has kind of turned into, as she said, a kind of a sex romp. You go there for a once-in-a-lifetime chance to have as much sex as possible. Oh, goodness. That's happening. And then I wanted to talk about this study. As you know, this show used to be called, we used to have Disease in the Diet. We still do Disease in the Diet seminars, teaching people. So we're going to have a nutritional segment or some kind of segment on diet. And this study crossed my eyeball. Okay? Retired military officers created this report. That was one of the another reason why it was kind of intriguing to me. Okay? The report came from California retired military officers, called The Lazy Days of Summer. Are they a national security threat? No, I don't make this up. I don't make this up. You're going to hear this first. I guarantee you some other talk show that you listen to today is going to talk about this, because it just came out. So anyway, in California, Lazy Day Summer, national security threat. Retired military officer said that the lack of summer programs for young people lowers the number of eligible recruits due to snowballing weight gain and a lack of education. Fatter and stupider. I'm sorry. Did that make it too clear? This report says the perilous combination of academic losses and rapid weight gain during the summer months has become a concern for the military. I can't make this up. This is real. This is a real report. The nonprofit group is composed of retired generals and admirals, points to research showing that during the summer vacation months, children on average fall 1 month behind where they left off academically in the spring. That's right. That's right. Your child, when you say, oh, great, summer, da, 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 is getting stupider. Nonprofit group composed of retired generals and admirals also points to research of children putting on extra weight during that time, totaling half of the weight gain gained for the entire year. So, in the summer months, all the weight the person is going to gain happens half, 50% of that happens in the hot summer months. So, not only do you get fatter, you get stupider. And that is now something that is a national security threat. Now, how does it become a national security threat? Because the U.S. Department of Defense reports that 3/4 of young adults are unable to join the armed forces because they are either poorly educated or overweight. That's right. That's right. Too stupid, too fat to defend the country. The iconic idea of Tom Sawyer running through the schoolhouse door and heading for the summer of outdoor freedom is no longer the norm for many American children. Children are more accustomed to watching TV, playing video games, and snacking on junk food. Whose fault is that? As we talked about in the first hour, when the plate is full and it's easy, human nature says, let's just keep doing this. This is nice. If a parent is allowing the kid to watch TV, play video games, and snack on junk food, whose fault is it? And is this a national security threat that the summer is the problem? Are they touting that there should be year-round school? Maybe, maybe, maybe. What do you think? Should there be year-round school? So retired Major General Paul Monroe says that it is a national security issue because whether or not they join the military, because they don't have a high school diploma, they're going to be underemployed for the rest of their lives. And if they're not physically fit, they're going to be a drain on the economy. That's right. You're already being looked upon as stupider and fatter, and now you're annoying me. According to their statistics, the stats, people. Give me the stats! Stat! Here's the stats. 3/4 of young adults are too overweight or undereducated today to join the military. 3/4 of the younger generation are too fat or too stupid to join the military. I'm going to repeat that stat. I'm going to give you this stat. 3/4, 75%. 75%? Do you hear me? Do you hear that number? ...75% of young adults are too stupid or overweight to join the military. Period. That's the stat. If you happen to be a young adult listening to this, let me blow your mind. You got three friends, right? That makes four of you. I might have to do the math for some of them. So you and three of your friends standing around. There's a call to action to join the military to defend this nation. Three of you are too stupid or too fat to go with the guy. Because 3 out of 4, 75%. I'm trying to help. I don't know who's listening. I'm just trying to help. Here's another stat. Remember, all of our stats are stat. We don't have any slow stats. Our stats are stat. We give you stat. Do I have to explain that? No, I'm not going to explain that. I've already explained the 75. 3/4. I gave them 75. I had to change the number. I know. We don't know who's listening. This audience is smart. I'm telling you. Very smart. Very, very, very smart. So, only the fringe listeners or the new listeners. I mean, they're not going to keep listening, I don't think, unless they want to be smarter. But that's probably only 25% as well. Well, I do hope they listen. I do hope they continue to listen because they will get smarter. That's what this show is for. It increases the brain power of the listener and highlights, of course, the non-listeners. All right, here's another stat. Children on average fall 1 month behind where they left off academically in the spring during summer vacation. And then, of course, I've already told you this one, among the weight gained by children over summer totals half of the amount gained that entire year. And here we go. Children today spend an average of 7.5 hours per day with media, not specific to summer months. In other words, what they find out, they consume various media more than any other activity besides sleeping. Now, define media to me, ladies and gentlemen. They're calling it TV and video games. Can I ask you a question? Is not media a book? Can you add, is books added in this? I don't know. No, books are not, because a third proposal in the report said increased summer reading opportunities. So the solutions for this report says to combat stupider and fatter is have mandatory summer school programs. I love that. I love it. You people, you regular listeners know. You regular listeners absolutely know that that word mandatory is just my favorite word. Oh, gosh. Mandatory. We pride ourselves on this show of saying, do whatever you want to do. Do it whenever you want to do it. Do whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do it, with whomever wants to join you. I don't care. That's what makes freedom. Mandatory school summer programs. Woo! Mandatory. I can't stand that word, mandatory. Mandatory. Wow. All right, so that's their first proposal. Number two, increase parent involvement and coaching. That's right. Programs that included a parental involvement component were associated with more positive achievement effects than those that did not. Are you saying that if you were to teach a kid and teach the parent to help teach the kid at home, it helps? Are you saying the parent has an impact on the child? I don't think you can say that. I am pretty sure the Department of Education disagrees with you completely. Now, for those of you who listen to the show a lot, we homeschool, and we are an advocate for homeschooling. And in fact, Very soon, I'm going to be announcing something for the homeschool community. It's going to be amazing, but I digress. Anyway, they're saying that if you parent involvement and coaching, were achieved with positive achievement effects. And then the third proposal is increasing summer reading opportunities. Let me ask you a question. Summer reading opportunities. Isn't that like daily? Every day? Like when you wake up? Couldn't your child, when they wake up, read? Or does that require parental coaching? I don't know. Does that kind of go back to the stat that we all know and love here, that 92% of the country never opened another book past high school? Yes, yes. If you're new to this show, that stat may really blow your mind. A previous three-year study showed that children in high-poverty schools invited to select 12 free books at the end of the school year later improved their reading levels in comparison to other students not provided free books. So in other words, free, mandatory, free and mandatory, mandatory free. The report suggests involvement in activities like Boys and Girls Clubs, though notes rising costs, dwindling such after-school opportunities for many families, along with the cost of reduced-price meals during the summer, which provide healthier eating. Oh. National security threat. I think it's taking it a step too far. How about you? Sometimes you have to rub your face after you talk about a topic. You know what we need? Everyone, a common listener of the show, you know what we need? Yeah. A little bit of slow jazz. I know, but it still hurts my head. You see why we are going across the world, emerge triumphant? You see that? You see why? You ready for another? Study came out yesterday. Yep. Doctors say early toilet training can harm potty prodigies and should not be attempted till age 3. I'm not kidding. Parents who pressure their children to potty training before the age of 3 may be hurting them, according to Dr. Stephen Hodges, a professor at the Wake Forest University in North Carolina, says that training too early can lead to more toilet accidents because the bladder may not be strong enough. It can lead to constipation, kidney damage, and even urinary tract infections because the toddlers are holding in their bowel movements longer than they should. Children under age 3 should not manage their own toilet habits any more than they should manage their college funds. You see that? Dr. Hodges wrote a book called It's No Accident to debunk myths that parents should strive to get their children out of diapers on the toilets at earlier and earlier ages. He says that babies need to experience uninhibited voiding or elimination in a way that they can respond to their body's urges in a judicious manner. Once they fully figure that out, then parents can bring them to the bathrooms. When the parents do that too early, it could lead to devastating problems in the future. Goodness.
with every child in a group. He's saying the kids are trained earliest and easiest. Oops, too low. Gotta have some beat. Kids who train earliest and easiest develop the most serious problems. Half his patients have toileting issues. Those same children were trained before the age of three. Numbers are not anecdotal. Physician visits for children constipation have quadrupled in the last decade.
Do you think it has anything to do with diet?
Dr. Stephen Hodges says all toileting problems, pee, poop accidents, bedwetting, urinary frequency, urinary tract infections related to chronically holding to your poop bone. That's it. Chronically. What's the diet? Not the fact that you're nowhere near a toilet sometimes. Not the fact that not every parent has a portable toilet potty, in fact, because they didn't go to the store and get one in case they're going on a trip. They don't think that far ahead. That can't have anything. $1 million annual visits to the pediatric clinic by girls suffering a urinary tract infection by the age of 7. 15% of all emergency room visits for young girls are because of the pain. 5 million kids went to bed every night, including 20% of 5 girls. According to the National Institute, I don't know about you, but I did not even know that. But I have got to join the National Association for Continence. We need that. New listener right now is going, there's 7 of those, right? Oh. That's right. There's 7 continents. Yep. Yep. That's the National Association of Continents. North America.
This show amuses me.
Oh, wow. Oh, by the way, the numbers I just gave you that the National Association for Continence says, Dr. Hodges says, it's all lies. Parents tend to believe potty problems are normal. Many don't bother bringing their kids to the doctor. The bladder needs about 3 or 4 years to grow and develop. Uninhibited voiding facilitates maximum growth. Uninhibited voiding. Uninhibited voiding. Is that really, 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 Doc? Oh, I'd love to hear your take on that. Reach me at facebook.com/emergetriumphant and follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/jackcatfield. That'd be great. All right, now here's something. It's summer. A lot of people go on vacation. I have not done so. I want to. No kidding. I want to. And I plan to. I'm going to go camping. I'm going to go camping where it's cooler. Cooler. You know why? Because it's hot. So hot. So hot. So back to this new book coming out. New book is Slamming SeaWorld. Many people go on vacation, they go to SeaWorld. New book is Slamming SeaWorld because they're saying that the killer whales are inadequately cared for. claiming that the 12,000-pound animals are self-harming and the staff are inadequately prepared for another killer whale attack incident. Death at SeaWorld has been published 2.5 years after the death of trainer Don Bronchu in Orlando. Don was killed in 2010 by a killer whale named Tilikum, and the event was inevitable because these kinds of tragic occurrences will continue if the animals continue to be treated in the same way. They're saying that killer whales are kept in captivity, suffer immense emotional and psychological trauma, spoke to formal trainers and campaigning animal rights activists to present his damning case. The staff, interviewed by Kirby, told him killer whales destroying their teeth on metal gates and then subsequently having those teeth removed by staff wielding power drills. He also claims the calves are separated from their mothers, causing both parent and child massive distress. And in one instance, almost leading to a fatality, an irate mother took out the anger on a trainer at SeaWorld San Diego headquarters. Furthermore, the staff was instructed to get Tilikum to come out of the water and roll. And then, do stuff to him to have him become happier, so that they can go make another whale. How about that? So, he's saying that the animals, there's no known records of killer whales attacks on humans in the wild, but the mild aggression towards trainers in close quarters is not uncommon. Since the 1970s, killer whales have attacked 24 people worldwide. Critics claim the animals can become aggressive in captivity due to higher levels of stress. 2006, killer whale Satka dragged its handler Ken Peters underwater twice at SeaWorld during a routine trick. That same killer whale had grabbed Mr. Peters about a foot during a 1999 show and dragged him in circles. In 2004, in San Antonio, SeaWorld, another killer whale attacked his trainer repeatedly, leaving him in a serious condition. Killer whales, the largest species of dolphin family, eat fish, marine animals, including sea lions, seals, and walruses, and regarded as top of the food chain as they have no natural predators. So, what do we do? Now, Don Bronchu, was dragged into the pool by her ponytail and then thrashed around in the water. And was killed, obviously. What they have done because of that is there's now an emergency alert system where when the alarm goes off, people are trained to come running. Everyone's supposed to have a role. Some people in charge of distracting the whale, try to call it back under control. Signals, underwater tones, food, hand slapping on the water, unfurl nets, try to get in a different pool, shepherd's hooks, flotation devices, whatever they can. The main task is to separate the whale from the human who's in trouble. However, the book says that the trainers are always told, use your own judgment and recognize precursors to aggression on a killer whale. And you are told as a trainer that if you fall into the water, you may not survive. So, wow. How about that? I think now I don't see a lot of on-hand activity with the killer whales now at SeaWorld. It seems like they're doing a lot of it through aquariums or through the window or through the side of the tank. But how do you feel about that? It's interesting to read that there's 20 attacks? 24 people attacked since 1970. Now, in the scheme of things, it's not a lot, but also in the scheme of things, we don't really not everybody has a killer whale in their backyard either. I don't. You might. Some listeners might, maybe, right? Could be. You never know. Let's go into a little bit of nutrition here before we run out of time. And then also I want to talk about, there was no commercials in this episode because I wanted to get the information out. I really wanted you to know about Spain. If you thought that first thing was about Spain, then you need to come back and listen again. Your job is to go out and tell everybody to come back and listen to the shows so that we can get more education into the masses. Because, as the report in the second hour, children are stupider and fatter than ever before. So we're always going to talk about nutrition as well, so that we can help to learn exactly how, what they need to do to not be stupider and fatter. And that's what we're going to be here for. We're going to emerge triumphant. That's the name of this show. We're all going to emerge triumphant. I want everybody who works with me and everybody who listens to me to emerge triumphant through the problems that you face, whether it be a business or personal. We're helping both. We help them on a regular basis. I look in the eyes of these people and they just go, you know what, I just want to do this. And that's what I want to help them do. I'm getting more and more people to emerge triumphant than ever before, and I'm excited. So, back to the stupider and fatter problem. If you do work out, you understand you do need to exercise some, because they're finding out that sitting actually is one of the worst things we could possibly do. That's not something that happened a long time ago. You didn't have time to sit. You had stuff to do. When you sat, you actually just rested. You were done. Because you worked all day, farming, tilling, doing something, right? Well, real quick, the answer to building stronger muscles is to get some protein after you work out. Resistant exercise promotes muscle building, but how much mass you gain is highly variable, depending on factors including your nutritional choices. A review found that 20 to 25 grams of rapidly absorbed protein, such as whey, serves to maximally stimulate muscle building after resistant exercise. High-quality leucine-rich protein, such as whey, is particularly important for the elderly to maximize muscle protein synthesis as well. You have a two-hour window after exercise that allows your body to optimize muscle repair and growth. So at that point, you supplement your muscles with the right food. Whey is essential. Right? Now, going a little bit further into the fatter and stupider. Did you know that there are genetically modified humans that have already been born? That's right. There have been humans that nature could never allow for. They have found upon investigation, experiments cited actually took place over a decade ago. The study announcing their successful birth was published in 2001, but you and I didn't hear about it. 30 healthy babies were born after a series of experiments in the United States provoked another furious debate about ethics. 15 of the children were born as a result of one experimental program at the Institute of Reproductive Medicine and Science at St. Barnabas in New Jersey. The babies were born to women who had problems conceiving. Extra genes from a female donor were inserted into their eggs before they were fertilized in an attempt to enable them to conceive. Genetic fingerprint tests on 2 1-year-old children confirmed they have inherited DNA from 3 adults. Now, what happens? Shocking consideration is that this was done repeatedly, even though no one knows what the ramifications are going to be. Now, hypothesis of a link between chromosomal anomalies and oocytes manipulation reveals that some of the babies were diagnosed at 18 months with pervasive developmental disorder, which is a spectrum of autism-related diagnosis. In less than 2 years, unpredictable outcomes started cropping up. That's scary. You and I didn't know this. You and I didn't know this. Winter, I know it's hard to talk about winter, but a summer cold, let's go into that. A summer cold is like one of the worst colds, right? Well, maintaining a healthy gut is important for your health. Host-specific beneficial bacteria appear to be critical for a healthy immune system. The results increase the understanding of health consequences of highly processed diet, excessive use of antibiotics, and our modern-day obsession with antibacterial cleaners and absence of the right gut microbes can shift the balance toward disease. The microorganisms in the human gastrointestinal tract form a highly intricate living fabric of natural controls that affect body weight, energy, and nutrition. Fast food is dead of all of the things that your gut needs, period. A study looking at viruses linked to gut bacteria in humans demonstrates how they pose a constant threat to the health of the bacterial community living in your gut. Your gut microflora are repeatedly infected with hundreds of virus types, and since they kill some of your gut bacteria, they likely can influence your health. In other words, your number one way to fight viruses is to have a healthy gut. And eating the wrong foods hurts your gut, period. 80% of your immune system actually resides in your gut, because when you eat, you get a lot of bad stuff. Israeli researchers decided to use coded information on the bacterial immune system to get to the bottom of these questions. And they've now, the people's gut microbiota are repeatedly infected with hundreds of virus types. These viruses can kill some of our gut bacteria, therefore likely these viruses can influence human health. So it is very important for you to reseed your gut with fermented foods and probiotics. Nobody eats fermented foods anymore. Sauerkraut. Right? Did you know a lot of soy sauce fermenting is over? The only way you can eat soy, remember, we don't get me started. I know, it's not a soy show. Just don't eat soy, period. How about that? Keep your gut right. Now, we've done a lot of talking today, and I'm so glad we're back. So glad we're back, and we're in the catbird seat. But the thing is, I want you to emerge triumphant. I want your business to be a business and not a job. I want your happiness and your family life and your health to be the best it can be. I want to help you come through this struggle that we're all in. I want to help you through the stuff before it gets ugly. And that's what we're doing. I'm helping people better themselves, helping companies better themselves,
I want to help you. And that's all I'm here for.
So, follow me, and let's get through this together so that we can emerge triumphant, you and I. Adele's always here. You can find her again at Path of the Peaceful Warrior. Get her meditation program and start looking inwardly at how we can be better outwardly. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening. The show will continue in your mind now because you have a lot to think about. Reach me at jhatfield@naturalsuccessprinciples.com. Send me an email. Ask me any questions. But, of course, facebook.com/emergetriumphant, twitter.com/jackhatfield. Find me. Ask me questions and let's get this done, okay, ladies and gentlemen? We all, through this struggle, can and will emerge triumphant, right? Can and will, you and I.
Yeah.